It's just what the doctor ordered. It's time for your daily dose of awesome. Check your hate and negativity at the door as mom, wife, teacher, and lover of life, Cindy Liming, shares awesome, fun-loving tips on how you can bring positivity, fun, and laughter into your life and into the world. And now, here's your host, Cindy Liming.
This is a Spiva Media production.
It's just what the doctor ordered. It's time for your daily dose of awesome. Check your hate and negativity at the door as mom, wife, teacher, and lover of life, Cindy Liming, shares awesome, fun-loving tips on how you can bring positivity, fun, and laughter into your life and into the world. And now, here's your host, Cindy Liming.
Hey there, this is Cindy Liming, your host of Your Daily Dose of Awesome. On this show, I talk about all the things that I find to be awesome in this journey called life. By sharing what I find, I hope that you too will be able to create more awesomeness in your corner of the world. So before I get started, I should probably let you know that I am recording outside and I'm not at my own house because my daughter has a friend over and I am actually at my husband's house. And for those of you who don't know me well, we don't live together, so I don't actually have all of my recording equipment. But that's one thing about this podcast. It kind of just has to happen when there's a moment of free time. So Haley is inside with a friend right now, and hopefully I'll get through this recording uninterrupted. So anyway, with the pandemic and all the negativity that it brought with it, much of society has been sucked right into it all. And people, including myself, have been sad, frustrated, angry, negative, divided, the list goes on and on. I like to consider myself a pretty positive person and, for the record, saw a ton of positive things during the lockdown, but I, too, got sucked into feeling kind of blue. In Ohio, when this all went down, we were literally quarantined. The weather was bad and everything was pretty much closed and we were afraid to go anywhere at first. And I am really thankful that things are starting to open up. But then once things started to get a little bit better, we had the riots and all the horrible things that went with that. And I also noticed that the whole paper straw thing is gone by the wayside. I mean, little did we know there would be so much more to panic about than paper straws. Or plastic straws, I should say. We're panicked about plastic straws and then using paper straws, which looking back now is not that big of an issue. But anyway, when I was really starting to get down in the dumps, I discovered Lizzie LaRock. If you're friends with me on Facebook or in my Facebook group, you might have noticed that I have been taking pictures from a worm's perspective. Like literally, my husband and I would go for a walk, find something interesting on the ground, like a wildflower, and then take a photo of it as if we were seeing it from a worm's perspective. And I got the idea from photographer slash writer slash positivity psychologist based coach, Lizzie LaRock. Prior to discovering her, I didn't even really know that positive psychology was actually a thing, but now I'm definitely intrigued. I mean, this gives me something brand new to learn about. Anyway, I stumbled upon Lizzie's ad for a photo walk on Facebook. And I don't want to talk about it too much in this intro because she's going to talk about it in depth in our conversation. A photo walk is a super cool way to practice mindfulness. You might have heard that word thrown around lately, but if you haven't, mindfulness is a word that describes focusing on the now. We're constantly worried about the past or the future. Mindfulness encourages us to make the moment the most of the current moment right now. Having a mindfulness practice helps with stress and anxiety. Meditation, for example, is a mindfulness practice. You might have heard of like mindful eating, where you eat slowly and really think about the food that you are eating, like how it looks and the texture, the smell, and how it tastes. But basically, if you focus on what's in front of you, you tend to not worry about all the other things like the pandemic, homeschooling, riots, and so on. And I study mindfulness, and I've done a variety of activities with my students, but I had never heard of a photo walk until I found Lizzie. To take time to focus on something from a different perspective, like a worm, was really amazing. I know some of you probably think I'm nuts, but of all the mindfulness activities out there, this one had a huge impact on me. Meditation does too, but a photo walk is way more fun, and you will see the amazing results in your mental health pretty much immediately. And speaking of fun, that is what Lizzie is all about. She's my age, which is 46 years old, and we both know that adulting is not the most fun thing to do. Lizzie is like a breath of fresh air. She's like me trying to bring the fun into adulting. But I'm going to stop here with my intro because I can go on about the awesomeness that Lizzie LaRock has brought into my life. I brought her on the show so that you too could learn how to create and play. Here's my conversation with Lizzie LaRock. Tell me about your career. And the reason why I'm so intrigued by your career is because I want to be like at the point where you are now at some point. So go ahead and talk about that though. I'll let you talk about what you do.
You're so, okay. So you want to hear current career, past career. I've switched careers pretty drastically in the last few years.
Okay. So that's perfect. That's where I am. Like I'm at this crossroads right now. So I want to know, I want you to tell the listeners like what you do now, because that's the only part I know about you. Right now. Okay. I only know what you're doing now. So talk about
that first. I did now is I'm a photographer and a writer and a positive psychology based coach. And I created a class, an online class called The Life Feast. So that's kind of my signature offering is it's an 8-week class teaching people how to integrate the concepts of positive psychology, which are like curiosity, awe, mindfulness, gratitude, and then a few I throw in like playfulness and adventure and getting out of your comfort zone. And I use iPhone photography because it's really simple and accessible and creative for women like us who are extremely busy and have a million balls in the air at any given time. So I teach them how to integrate all of these creativity concepts, these positive psychology concepts into their life through the iPhone photography. And I created the class. I had been mulling it over for probably like 5 years or so before I finally launched it in 2019. So in January of 2019. And then I've been running it for, I guess, so a year and a half now. That's the current. I also take on a few clients where I help them with creative projects and positive psychology coaching. But the crux of it is the course, which is similar, I guess, to the photo walk, which is kind of how we met. My background is that my husband and I owned a restaurant here in Steamboat, Colorado, where we live, which is a resort ski town. We owned a huge headache. I owned a huge headache for 14 years. And it was a 300-seat bar restaurant, Yes, every stereotype you can think of just how stressful it is and it's the hardest business, like they're all true. It was really a difficult time. So I had gone through really toxic stress levels. I joke that it was a headache. I mean, it gave me migraines and all kinds of physical issues. And I was really, I should add the caveat, there are people who are wonderful at running restaurants and I love going to restaurants. And so those that do it well, I'm in awe of them. I really struggled through it and was grateful to get out of it. So when I've transitioned into, I'm 46 years old. And when so we sold it right after my 40th birthday. And I kind of just made that decision. Like, whatever career I choose, however I move forward, it's going to be something that just lights me up from the inside. And it took me another few years to fully commit to that. I then transitioned into a boutique marketing business, and I did marketing, just freelance marketing, copywriting, photography, graphic design, social media, all the things for a few years. And in that, I came to work for a mindfulness company, and I did all of their marketing for about 3 years, wrote a lot of keynote speeches, TED Talks, everything on mindfulness topics, which are a very close cousin to positive psychology. And then that's how I kind of got to the end of the line there and went, I need to follow this thread, and it's not by doing people's social media anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's how I ended up creating, because I, in my marketing business, I created online courses for other people. It was a pretty easy transition, technically, maybe not mindset wise, but to go all in on myself and to say, okay, I went and got a certification in applied positive psychology. And as I was doing that certification, I just realized how many parallels there were to my longtime photography habit, which I have been a photographer since I was 15 years old. I grew up in the darkroom, black and white photography, film, all of it. And so I've been talking nonstop. I feel like I should take a breath.
No, that's okay. No, I'm keeping notes in my head, because the weird thing is that, first of all, like when I hear you talk about what it is that you do, and you bring up terms like mindfulness and positivity and all of the things that you said in the beginning, that is everything that I am. So like, I started this show because I was tired of the negativity, which is still continuing today. So, sure. I mean, my quest for a peaceful world is still ongoing. And I'm doing that through podcasting. I've been a fifth grade teacher. I've been teaching, I'm going to go into my 24th year of teaching.
Oh, wow.
So, and I enjoy it, but I am getting old. I guess I can say this because I'm 46 too.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And so I just turned 46 on June 15th. But it's like, as I'm getting older, it's getting more exhausting being at school, like physically and mentally.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't really want to switch careers, because teaching fifth graders is a very good vessel to get the message out that I want to get out, which is being positive and taking care of yourself. And I have about 130 kids a year. So I have a big audience, you know.
Like, I get to grow them from.
Yes, yes. And so it's like, I really don't want to not be in the schools.
Right.
Because I enjoy the kids, and I just feel like I have a lot to offer. And I feel like everything that you said is like so, so, so important right now, especially. I mean, with all the things that are going on, I don't know about you, but I get really dragged down with the media, and I don't really watch TV. It's just not healthy. And I was where you were. Like, I'm actually better now, but I had a rough patch. I think everybody has a rough patch, maybe before they get into their 40s.
Yeah, seems. Probably.
But I've dug myself out, and I'm a totally new person. Oh. And so I love hearing that. And I know, like, this is going to sound really weird, but I like hearing that it's taken you a little while to get to where you are.
Yeah.
Because part of the problem, I think, with myself and a lot of people around our age, maybe, like, I want to be a writer now. I want to be a really good photographer now.
Today.
I want to be teaching. Like, here's the other thing that we have in common. Because I don't know if you've looked at any of my stuff, but and I guess it wouldn't really have come out anyways, but like, I want to teach online courses, you know, like, not
They're
in the
so
style that I had to for remote learning. Not
no.
Like that.
But, let's be clear. The lockdown version was fun for nobody. But.
Right. But like, you're pretty much where I want to be, like, right now. Okay.
Oh, I love that. And I laughed because I was thinking you'd written that in one of the emails, and I laughed, and I'm like, and if only Cindy knew that on the days that I'm having a hard day, I think, well, I just need to be further along than where I am right now. So
But like, that's okay, like that's why right. I want to get
that's
to know
why I
you.
Practice that mindfulness thing. Like I should be more present.
And, yeah. And I'm all into that mindfulness thing. Like I was teaching mindfulness to my students the best I could during when we were normal. Mm-hmm. And I just took another class on mindfulness. Like I'm all over that stuff.
Oh,
and
I love it.
So like, and I do want to get into this a little more in a little bit, but that whole photo walk thing, as we were going through all this, that was like such a mindfulness thing for me that I so needed.
Yeah.
But I'll get to that in a second. Cause I also wanted to ask you, cause I don't want to forget about this, but what did you major in college? So you said you went to Denison, but what did you major in?
I majored, that's funny. My nephew asked me this. He's graduating and going to college. He's like, what did you major in? I was like, English literature, and photography was my minor, and French was my minor. And I would joke that when I owned the restaurant, I was like, well, I have a very grammatically correct menu and well written. And I think I used French one time in the restaurant business. And so Denison was a very liberal arts college. So it wasn't, there weren't like highly specialized majors. My goal was to go into advertising when I got out of college. And I ended up in book publishing and then some magazine publishing. And then it was like my boyfriend, who's now my husband, he was moving to Colorado from Denison. And I thought, well, that sounds kind of fun. And so I moved to Colorado, to the ski area. And, you know, really the best way to excel back then, career-wise, was to get into hospitality. So I worked in hotels and sales and marketing, and then the restaurant. So it was always with that advertising marketing, I guess, slant, but it wasn't an actual major at Denison. And I love to read, so I just read books for 4 years.
Okay, so that's how you did it. Because like, okay, so marketing was not your major.
No. Yeah. So there was, like I said, there wasn't a marketing major.
So how have you picked up all these other skills along the way? So you said reading books.
Yes. So I got a job when I was, so I guess I was 23. I was working at the front desk of a hotel, and I somehow, well, my first job was in book publishing, and I worked as, it was a fellowship that I won. And I joked that I think I won the fellowship because I was the only one who didn't actually want the job. It was like 100 people interviewed for this marketing fellowship at a book publishing company. And it was 3 hours away from the boyfriend who was moving to he was doing the ski bum year. And I was staying in the city. And, you know, I really wanted to go move where he was, but I couldn't give up this opportunity. So I had this really beautiful foundation where in this fellowship, it was like a paid / internship. And I learned a ton of marketing back then. And then I finally moved to Steamboat, worked in a hotel at the front desk, and was promoted within a year to be the director of marketing, which I was really young and really green for. But the owner of the company really liked me and thought I was just, you know, personable and ready to learn. And so I just self-taught that way, I guess.
Because like podcasting has nothing to do with what I majored in. I'm a mom and a teacher and a children's ministry director. And I'm like, I think I might want to do a podcast.
What was your major?
Education.
Of course.
Yeah, it was education, and I'm doing exactly what I set out to do. Isn't it funny?
Like, I mean, I looked at my nephew who's 18 and going to college, and he's like all stressed about what he's going to major in. And I was like, Will, like this stuff didn't exist when I was 22 years old. Like I've done, you know, Facebook ads and copy creation for people. And I remember getting my first email address in my senior year of college.
Right.
And I was one of like three people who had one. I mean, nobody else did.
Yes.
So it's just, you know, there's so many, and that's the fun thing about creativity, right? Like there's so many ways to get your podcasting didn't exist back then. We couldn't have majored in it, but it's just a fun medium. If you're curious and creative, that you can go, sure, I'll learn it. I'll figure it out.
Well, that's my thing though. Cause like you have twins. right? Yes. You have twin 13-year-olds, or are they older now?
14.
They're 14 now. Okay. So like, that's the issue though. Like, I have three kids of my own. I have two stepchildren, but my husband lives an hour away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So like, we basically, my husband and I are forever dating and on a shared parenting schedule, which is really nice. But
that's going to be some perks to that.
Oh, there's a lot of perks. especially like, I can say that because this is my second time around with marriage, but it makes it very, everything is time consuming. So like so when I wanted to learn about podcasting, it took me a long time to get where I am, you know? My next thing is I want to teach online courses, but I have no idea how to do it correctly. Right. You know, I mean, I know how to throw something together to teach fifth graders during a pandemic, and even that didn't go very well. So like, I got to learn that, you know what I mean? Right. And that all takes so much time. And like, I just wish we were allowed to live longer so that,
this midlife thing's really difficult.
Or like, can we speed up the learning process? Like, how can I learn all of this as fast as I can so I can do it all while I'm on this planet? So like, do you work from home? Is your office at home?
No, I actually, prior to March 13th, I worked from a really cute studio in downtown Steamboat. Since our lockdown began, I moved my desk and everything home into the middle of the living room. And then because it's summer and all of my kids' stuff got canceled, I haven't moved back to my studio because it just seems sort of pointless. I'm still driving everyone around.
Like, right.
My real full-time job is chauffeur.
Right. I get it.
So I do a lot of in the car learning.
Yes. So do I.
That's my favorite modality. And that's actually like when I was doing some marketing for my own class in February, I was like, you know, trying to come up with, here's 15 ways to be creative in your car. While you're waiting at dance class, why, you know, and we can get to this, but that's when you had said, what was the impetus for the photo walk? And that was it. It was like how much time I spend in my car waiting places.
I did an episode on how to wait well.
Yeah. So it was, how do I squeeze in these creative dreams in the 15 minute increments and not make them so big and, you know, huge to take down. I've lost track of the original question. My apologies.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I was wanting to know how you're balancing it all. But so like, would you say like one of your mom secrets would be to those times that you are actually waiting around, you're actually using it to further your creativity?
For sure. And I will say, so when you said you kind of got on the Daily Dose of Awesome inspiration of being really sick of all the negativity, you know, one of my big impetuses was I was really tired. So when my kids, you know, with twins, it's really stressful all in at first until they're about 5 years old, and then you come up for air and it's a little bit easier. And you know, and as I said, we owned a restaurant at the same time. So when they were probably about 8 years old, like 7 or 8 years old, I mean, I remember just talking to my friends, and we were having never-ending discussions about like the booster seat and the car seat and which activities they were going to and the summer camp, and we're selling Girl Scout cookies. And I was thinking to myself, like, we need something else to talk about. We were interesting people before this, like before these amazing little wonderful people took over our existence. And what I found so ironic was that, I don't know about you, but I was big on like, oh yeah, the kids should take piano lessons and dance lessons and art class. And I'm dropping them off at all these activities going like, well, I want to go to art class.
Yes.
I want to go to the piano lesson. And so the funniest was that when they were, I think, so one of my twins, I guess maybe when she was like 8 or 9, I can't remember, but she wanted to quit piano. And I was telling the piano teacher that she was quitting. And I said to him, I said, but I'd really like to take her spot. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he said, oh, you don't have to feel bad. Like I'll fill the spot. It's no big deal. And I said, no, I'm not trying to take piano lessons from small children. Like if you're all full, I won't take a spot. But if you have an opening, it's one of my biggest regrets was that I quit piano at 12. And instead of forcing it on my daughter, who's not into it, I sort of had this reckoning with myself of like, who's the one who really wants to take piano here? And it, mm-hmm. and it was like, oh, it's me. And so then for years, which is comical, like I, you know, had a terrible recital. I was the only adult. Anyway,
I love
lots of mistakes, but it was so funny. So one time I'm coming out of the lesson and my kids were waiting in the hallway for me. Like we were then going to whatever next activity of theirs, but they were in the hallway doing their homework. And my friend, whose name is Cindy, she had said to me, she goes, God, Lizzie, I love watching your girls wait for you to come out of the lesson. And I was like, yes. You know, I said, I the message I think that we end up sending to our kids is like adulting isn't fun. And you should spend all your childhood enriching your life, playing sports, doing all the activities. And then when you become an adult, you should just let it all atrophy. And we should just, famous in my life feast class is like, we aren't meant to just pay bills and die. Like we're not, we're meant to start a podcast. We're meant to acknowledge these creative urges that we have, that we all have, and not just say like, I'm just going to focus on my taxes and my to-do list and the grocery shopping. And of course, we have to get all that stuff done, but I think it's been my mantra all along of, you know, wanting to inspire, you know, my friends of like, you can do this too. We can all have fun.
Yes. Adulting can be fun.
Yeah. So it does take a little more, finagling of the schedule. My girls are really good cooks. So they help. We use HelloFresh because I am not a good cook and I like, oh, it's so easy to follow the recipe. And so we've been doing it for years. They learned how to help with dinner and help with everything. And as I said, I drive a ton. I joke that I spend so much time in my car. And I would just, the default is, you know, just to scroll on your phone and just check email, right? And, you know, answer texts and make doctor's appointments and follow up with everything and follow up on work stuff. And I'm sitting at dance class and I just thought, I can't keep doing this. Like it's sort of against my mindfulness practice. I don't want to be, I think when we aren't creating, we're just consuming and not just consuming sort of, you know, Twinkies or donuts, like it's consuming that the Instagram feed or, you know, other people's creations. And I decided like, I need to create before I can consume, like I need to make this. And so I think in short, we have more time than we realize. We just end up, you know, putting it towards a million different minutiae details. Like the inbox is still going to be full even if you take a 15-minute photo walk, and you might feel so much better and so much more inspired. That's the other thing is in positive psychology, we learned so much of, you know, there are just those times where you need to do something like get out and do the walk and do the photo walk so that you can tackle a bigger project that might be stressing you out. But if you try to tackle it from sort of the negative state where we say that narrows and focuses you. Like I would always joke that I couldn't go from the restaurant of like doing payroll and like our profit and loss statement and getting all stressed about the finances. And then immediately 5 minutes later transition to now we're going to plan the Mardi Gras celebration, or now we're going to plan what's on, you know, the menu this week. Like it was, you have to have that when you're in the, you know, negative emotions narrow and focus us to take immediate actions of, you know, different things for our survival. Positive emotions broaden and build us, and they build upon each other and help us become more creative and get into a better mindset, if you will, for coming up with solutions to tough problems.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think darn people
it,
realize.
You gotta get out there.
What yeah, like I don't people re- think people like adults especially realize like how important creativity is.
They don't at all. And I mean, there are massive health benefits. They've done studies of like it lowers your cortisol level. You know, it increases white blood cell count to help fight off infection. Like they're so. Many, that's what I love about positive psychology is that there are, it's research-based, science-based, like people are out there, I always joke, like there are scientists in lab coats researching gratitude.
Yes!
Like how good it is for you, you know, take two gratitudes and call me in the morning. And that's not to say that our negative emotions and our, you know, don't have a purpose and that we shouldn't process them and follow through, but we just don't want to get so stuck in them.
Yes.
And creativity and curiosity are really like great ways to get us out of, you know, that must that pay
funk.
Bills. You know?
Yes.
Remember the, so because, and I don't know, where did you grow up childhood? Did you grow up in Ohio?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have like the Dunkin' Donuts commercials with the guy, Fred the baker who was like
time to make the donuts.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I was like, I would, you know, I had written an email newsletter of just, we're all just living this Dunkin' Donuts life. Like,
yeah. Like my husband will sometimes say that, like he'll get up in the morning and it's time to make the donuts.
And you think like, okay, we gotta stop and savor the donuts a little bit. We gotta take a pause and then acknowledging that, you know, they say in positive psychology, there's the ratio of you need three positive experiences to offset your inherent negativity bias. And, you know, we have this negativity bias because it helped us biologically escape from lions and tigers and, you know, things that we needed, our Paleolithic, you know, ancestry needed to survive. And we're still using some of that programming, you know, that old operating system in the modern world. So we still have the negativity bias. I always joke, like, now we're looking for tigers at Starbucks. they're not there. So, you know, I'm just a big proponent of you've got to find those three positives to balance out what that negative is. And we forget to do that a lot.
Yeah. Now, okay. So I want to talk about this photo walk because,
yeah.
It has, and I hope I don't sound like I'm nuts to you. I know we just,
no,
met, but I feel thrilled. Like you might understand.
But I love nerding out on weird photos. So this is my jam, Cindy.
Yeah. It's just so funny because like, you know, so we've been in this pandemic and in Ohio, like, you know, when this all went down in March, the weather was really bad. So we were like literally in quarantine. I mean, my three kids and me
locked in,
we were locked in. We couldn't go outside and play because it was raining. And then if you can believe this, it actually snowed in, I think, April. So we had really bad weather and then it started to get nice. And, my husband and I, one of the things that we could do is go for walks, and my husband and I like going, for walks. And, I was scrolling through Facebook, and I just also wanted to tell you, like, by the way, when we talk about time, I actually did a time audit to see where my time was going. And a lot of it was just scrolling.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why, like, all right, if we're really, and I am just as guilty. I'm like, when we're really honest with ourselves, we're like, there is a lot of time in there.
Yes,
I just don't want to admit where it went.
Yeah. So I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw your ad. I'm like, oh, this sounds interesting. And I started reading all your prompts and I'm like, oh, like I like photography. Like I'm not going to be a photographer. That's not one of my dreams or anything like that. I just like taking pictures, you know? And I'm like, oh, I like taking pictures and oh, look, I can do it with my iPhone. I don't need anything special. And so I started reading through your prompts. I'm like, oh, look, I can do these things. And so the first one, I don't think they're in any order like a challenge or anything.
No,
I think they're just there.
They're completely random.
Yeah. So I was just looking through. I was like, oh my gosh, look at this. You can take things from a worm's perspective.
Yeah.
And like, I think like my friends, especially my kids, are so sick of me saying this because we will be in any random place and then I'm on the ground.
Yep.
Taking a photo from a worm's perspective. And the funny thing is there's really no reason at all for me to be taking that other than I'm enjoying the moment. I'm having so much fun. And, you know, it's just for the sake of fun. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know,
just to delight yourself.
Yeah.
Creatively.
And the funny thing is that like when I first did it with my husband, so we went on a walk in the Metro Park, and our very first picture, I think I sent it to you, was like the wildflowers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And, so and cool. We looked at it, like, I so wish, cause like I've been in your shoes. Like, I would love to know what people think of this episode or that episode. And so like when we took that first picture, we looked at it, I was like, oh my gosh, look at this. Like, this is a worm's perspective. And like all of these other crazy ideas, like I really wish we could like hang out, because some of my ideas are so far out there.
Maybe post quarantine when we can all travel again.
Right. But like then, so like we're on the, you know, ground taking all these pictures from a worm's perspective. And then like, I was telling my daughter's boyfriend who I think gets me on this really weird level, because every time I tell him these crazy ideas, like he like goes off of them. And so like, we were like talking about like, oh, we should do a children's book about worm, you know, like,
and this
like
is how the worm sees the world.
Yes. How the worm sees the world. Like, see, like, but that's like, my mind is like on constant creativity overload. Like I just from me taking those few pictures because of your media post, like now I'm like flooded with all these ideas. And then I have another friend, who, I did an episode on haikus. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so he discovered that he's actually really good at writing haikus. So I'm like, ooh, why don't we incorporate the haikus into the children's story? Or
how funny. Let's make a I do a free challenge in November. If you discovered me in November, it would have been through gratitude. And I call it gratitude gravy. And it's like 12 ways to practice gratitude every day in the month of November. And you get a different email every day. And one of them is like, write a haiku to your coffee maker or to your washing machine or anything like mundane appliance that you are so grateful for. Because if you didn't have, you know, said appliance, like life would be different. And people write these haikus to their appliances and I love them. They make me so happy.
Well, does
so
that fun. Challenge exist somewhere online still? Cause I have to share it with my friend.
It does. Well, so I really only run it in November because it is like a 12 day, every day, different letters you should write, the haiku, like a gratitude sort of version of the photo walk. And so I'll send you some details on it.
Okay.
It's more of a November. I try to keep it in
November. Well, if you're going to do it in November, then I'll sign up for it.
You'll get it.
Cause I love that. So, so then I started like kind of wearing out the worm's perspective thing. And like, I would like be, like I said, I was like, I'll be on the ground in random places and my kids are rolling their eyes.
Now you need the ceiling selfie.
Yes. Then I started doing ceilings. Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, then you need to move to the ceiling selfie.
So now it's been ceilings. So, so here's my question, like, where are you getting these ideas? Cause like, I know for me, like, it, like learning from you and just this small little realm. I mean, I know you have so much more than this, but like just from your little photo walk, like now I've got, oh, I got to do a children's story and I got to do a coffee table book and I got to do this.
I love it.
And the haikus. And like, that's how I'm getting my ideas from, just from any random, like I could be anywhere. And then all of a sudden I'm like, bam, like all these ideas are in my head. Like I saw a gnome made out of acorns. And so like, I started making them so for everyone. Like I drive people crazy,
but
so fun for me. But so
this
like,
this is the broaden and build. This is what I'm talking about. Like when you get into that state and everyone's like, I'm not creative. I don't have a creative bone in your body. You're like, no, you just haven't like created the condition. And you obviously are very creative, but like, you just need to create the conditions for creativity. And then it's like,
Oh my gosh. And it's addictive and it's fun and I'm happy. And like when I hand someone a gnome made out of an acorn, maybe I'll send you one in the mail.
I would love a gnome.
I bet you would.
That would be the best.
Like when I hand it to people, they're like, oh my gosh, look, a gnome. And it's like
so cute.
And it's just for that reason only. There is no bigger picture here. It's just let's have some fun. But where does Lizzie LaRock get her inspiration?
Get these ideas. So, you know, it's really funny. So I live in a really beautiful scenic area. I mean, there's two mountains outside of my window. It's really gorgeous. I have never really been interested in taking photos of said mountains outside of my door. I love looking at them. I love sitting outside and having them fill me up. But artistically, I have always been the weird person crouched down on the sidewalk taking pictures of like a crack and a leaf and something. And, you know, I would blow up pictures and give them to my mom for Christmas or something. She'd be like, oh, I don't get it. Like, and you know, I would just like, whatever, mom. She gets it now, but it would be funny. So I've always really just, I don't know why, been just extremely intrigued by these little, and that's sort of been the whole point to why I wanted to create my class, the Life East, was really just saying like, art is everywhere. You can say, I live in Ohio, so I don't live in Colorado. I can't. And they're like, nope, I promise you, you will, you know, like I said, find a flower and crouch down from the worm's point of view and get this incredible, you know, interesting photo that you were never expecting. So the ceiling selfie, I always love this story with, because it's, or I have to credit it to my sister. When we were, she's older than I am. And when we were, I was probably like 5 and she was 8, and we would walk around our house with a mirror, and the mirror was facing towards the ceiling. And she would be like, we're going to walk around the house and pretend that we're stepping over chandeliers or door jams or whatever.
And she came up with it on her own?
She came up with this when she was like 7 or 8 years old.
But look at that,
and
what children like,
I know,
come up with.
I know, it's amazing. So she and I would do that. Like, and it was one of my favorite games, was pretending that we were walking on the ceiling of our house. And so, you know, that's like when our video game selection was like Pong. It was like just that ball. But like, there wasn't really anything all that stimulating. There were, what, Brady Bunch and like Hogan's right. Heroes on TV. So we got really creative. I realized this one time I had my phone. It was 4th of July, actually. We were getting ready to go to a 4th of July parade at my parents' house. And I like bumped my phone or was trying to take a picture, and it went into selfie mode. And I put it down on the counter, and I just looked up, and there was like the edge of this parade costume, this crown, and the ceiling lights, and you could just see it pointing upward. And I was like, that's such a cool photo. Like, I've never thought to put the phone in selfie mode and not take a selfie, like to just lay it on the counter and see what's on the ceiling. And it just like jogged my memory of, you know, my sister and her kids were there, of this practice that we used to do of walking around, you know, with the hand mirror. And so the ceiling selfie was born of, you know, I tell people, put your phone in selfie mode, hold it parallel to the ceiling, look down at your phone and walk around. And you can, I do it in airports, you know, you can do it in sort of like the quintessential, like I had a friend who was in Europe last summer, and she went to all the churches and, you know, gorgeous ceilings, obviously everywhere. But I was in the Houston airport for 3 hours, and I took one of my most favorite ceiling, like several of my favorite ceiling selfies.
Was it the one with the red?
With the red lanterns.
So cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part of where the photo walk was born also, is that I realized I'd always been doing it. Like, so the 3-hour layover in the airport, we had gone to Peru, not Mesa Verde, but we had been at Machu Picchu, and we were so tired and we had this long layover, and I thought, I'm never going to stay awake. And I was like, I'll just, you know, do a photo walk in the airport. My kids are older. They were like, you know, watching a movie or something, and my husband was with them. And, you know, it just dawned on me, like, well, I could share this with others, that it's really like, you can be creative anywhere.
It's so entertaining. I mean, yeah. Like, because the weird thing is, like, there's so much of the world to see right where you are, you know, like,
exactly.
Like, for people so listening, like, take one picture from a worm's perspective, like, you're going to be like floored. And now I'm like addicted to ceilings. Like, I did not know all these things were up there. Yes. Like, I would be missing out.
So fun. We never stare up. And if you're actually composing it with your phone, you go, oh, wow, this looks really, really cool. And even with a big camera, DSLR camera, I wouldn't have really, I mean, unless I was probably in the church in Europe noticing, you know, some really elaborate painting or something. I wouldn't have looked for light fixtures or exposed pipes that are interesting or any of these things ever.
So basically you're inspired. You never know when it's going to hit you.
Yeah.
That's like me. I
had this really weird photography practice, I guess, for forever and ever. And so when I started the certification in the applied positive psychology, I realized all these things like looking up, you know, increases like your optimism. Like there's scientific studies of that. And looking down, like standing up on the bed, say, and taking a photo is, you know, that's creating some of the conditions of awe of being up high mm-hmm. above things. And then I've always, because of my sort of exhaustion with negativity, it was, you know, I always made the parallel to how can you look at a problem from a new perspective? You know, photography, interesting creative photography is all about finding that different perspective. And, you know, so I really love to kind of extrapolate out the metaphor of saying, hey, yeah, if you're thinking of something kind of hairy and difficult in your life, how can you look at it from the worm's eye perspective or the bird's eye view or the, mm-hmm. if you got too up close, you know, macro, how do you zoom out or, mm-hmm. you know, when do you go big picture? When do you go details?
So, like, I think I'm going doorknobs next.
Yeah. I've done like toilet paper rolls. I've done like up close, down low, like side angle of the toilet paper. And people are going to listen to this and be like, who
are these people? Well, like people that know me, like, I mean, I have been talking about you since I found that thing because
so sweet.
Because it doesn't matter where you are. Like you can do these things. And it's, and my husband, who I thought was going to think, my husband gets me, like I guess it's not that off the wall,
right,
but like
right.
he joined in. I mean, like I really didn't he's think like, he was sure. gonna be on the ground too, but let me have the phone, let me get on the ground.
I've gotta do one,
you know.
I love it. Yeah. I love it when the husbands get involved and the kids get involved. And so the whole thing with lockdown, I think that's where, you know, so I had been teaching a lot of these different creative perspectives in the Lifeies class, and then with the lockdown I got invited by the arts organization that runs our community, because at my studio downtown, I've taught the women our age photography, and we did like a whole Life East art show of all these weird angles and ceiling selfies and things, because one of the lessons is get out of your comfort zones. I'm like, well, we're gonna do an art show. How fun will that be? And they're all nervous about it. But anyway, so they were bringing the art shows online, and the arts organization asked if I wanted to participate. And I was thinking about how we're all locked in our houses, and the weather was terrible here as well. And the ski mountain was shut down. You were not allowed to do anything, you know, active wise that we normally do on bad weather days. And I thought, oh, well, if we're all climbing the walls, you may as well take a ceiling selfie. That was sort of my riff on the lockdown. And so I created this whole online art show of all the ceiling selfies that all of my students had taken in the Life Feast class. And I put it to music, and I got all these emails back from people who went to the virtual art show. Like, that was so fun. That was so incredible. And I thought, oh, you know, thinking of everyone around the country, like you can take a photo walk in your house. It is mm-hmm. really delightful. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're able to get outside, I know that so many of us were like, we got to take the walk for the kids. Everybody needs to get out of the house, mm-hmm. you know, to get some fresh air during the day. But then of course there were people who lived maybe say in New York City who it wasn't a good idea to be out of your house at all, even mm-hmm. for a walk. And so that's why I wanted to come up with prompts that would be indoor and prompts that would be outdoor. You know, I was getting tired of every Zoom call, every like Zoom happy hour with old college friends or with my parents and, you know, niece and nephew, all of them. We were just talking about the coronavirus, like all, and it was sort of the same thing with the mom speak years ago and all, you know, negativity any number of negative topics on the news these days. But I was like, I'm so sick of talking about what everybody else's lockdown looks like.
It probably looks like yours.
Yeah. Like, let's discuss this ad nauseum of every state, how we're all, what, you know, when will your restaurants open? What's your takeout?
Right.
Like?
What, right.
And it was just, okay, we got to get people out. Again, we have that negativity bias. It's so easy for us to hone in on what's going wrong, especially when we're all on a quarantine in our homes. And I was like, how do I positively contribute to this and help get people to be delighting themselves with something different?
Oh, you know, I just have to tell you, I have to say thank you, because I mean, it did wonders for my husband and me. My husband, like, really gets, he was just really, I mean, we were both like kind of sad. Yeah. For lack of a better word, you know, over the pandemic, and, you know, but he has a tendency to, I don't know, internalize, I guess.
Or yeah.
I can't like think of a really
ruminate.
Good word, but, yeah. And so like, when we go and do these things, like to see him on the ground taking these pictures and in awe, just like his crazy wife, you know, yeah, was like so refreshing. Like it did a real, it was just like, gosh, I don't even know how to say this correctly. It really, and what I'm about to say doesn't even explain it well enough, but it did such wonderful things for our mental health. And it's such a simple thing. And like, that's what I want people, that's really the main reason why I wanted you on here. I just, there's something about you that I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to meet her, because
thank you.
Like, you're so part of my life. Like, you don't even know.
Oh, I love it. Well, now I am.
Yeah. But like, you know, like it's just one thing, like, you know, when you teach somebody something, but you really never, nobody ever tells you like how it impacted you.
Yes.
Like, and so when I have a student come back and tell me, this is what I got from you, Mrs. Lyman,
yeah,
you know,
so amazing.
And it makes
it never
really
gets
good.
Old.
Yeah.
I certainly love hearing it.
Yeah. And so I just wanted to make sure that you knew that, you know, like
thank
what you're
you.
Doing
you,
is really amazing. And I really want my friends to get into this, because I think that, you know, their worlds could be that much more joyful.
Yeah.
Now I do have to tell you something though, that's kind of a little bit off topic, but maybe you've heard of this, but have you ever heard of eye bombing?
No,
okay, I'm you're going to like this. You're going to like
this. What is eye bombing?
So like, here's
like piano bombing thing. Where they're just like random pianos in places or
like, no, I love kind those. Of. Kind
okay.
Of. Okay. So, okay. Did you know
and yarn bombing? I know what yarn bombing is.
What's yarn like, bombing?
Oh my gosh. We're knitting people, like randomly will like knit tree branches and things. Like you'll be walking and they're covered in cool knitting.
Get out. Cause like I crochet, like that's my thing. Like, oh my gosh.
You could crochet okay. bomb.
So like literally like the ideas are going again. Mm-hmm. Okay. But anyway,
love
so
it.
Eye bombing. Okay. I don't know if you knew this, but
nope.
googly eyes.
You okay.
can get self-adhesive googly eyes.
Oh yes. Okay? Yes. I have used them.
Okay. So like I got the idea. I saw it like on Pinterest or something and I bought some. And then I would just keep them in my purse. And then everywhere I went, like what I did was like, if you ever look at like a tree and you start looking for mouths.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
faces. Like, I call it faces in places.
Yes. Cause I saw you did that.
Yes.
And then I would put eyes with those. So then you have this hysterical thing. I'm going to email you as soon as I think about it again, I'm going to email you some of my favorite eye bombing pictures.
Oh, I would love it.
And I like, I do it a lot with kids and like even my parents who are kind of like, a little, they're not as silly as me.
Yeah.
But like even they were like cracking up.
Laughing.
But like people like would ask me like, why are you doing it? I'm like, why not? I mean, like you have to like go
so
out
cute.
And do this with your girls. Like just on your photo.
You would think it's hysterical.
Like start looking for mouths and then you can never unsee them again.
Yeah.
Because I haven't.
Well, we definitely do that. We call it gesture in photography of like, you know, you look for those faces that like, I always say it's like the, you know, like a power outlet looks like a little
oh,
person
yes.
going like, oh, you know, surprise.
Yes. I actually eye bombed a power outlet. So like,
yes.
So like, I'm going to send you these pictures and I would love it if you would like go out and do this sometime
oh,
and send me
absolutely.
Your pictures.
Absolutely. I got to go get the googly eye.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
I get them on Amazon. Make sure they're self-stick because I have not found a hot glue gun that's like battery powered.
Oh my God.
You know, that you could take with you, but it's hilarious and I'll send it to you. Cause you're going to love this.
I gotta say, so in the Life Feast class that I teach, there's I had gone to a TED Talk in person, and there was the curator for the Denver Art Museum had done this hilarious talk on playfulness, and he had done an art show of the lead singer. I'm forgetting his name. Oh, Mark Mothersbaugh. So he was the lead singer of Devo. Do you remember the band Devo?
I do.
So he did this whole retrospective on Mark's whole career, which is this very prolific, you know, serious music. Like, he's a serious composer, as well as Devo, as well as like hysterical, you know, fine art things. And they became really good friends. And he tells this story about like being in an airport, I can't remember where, somewhere international, and they're about to walk through passport control. And the Denver Art Museum, sort of a buttoned up PhD type, opens up his passport, and Mark Mothersbaugh had put googly eyes on his passport picture. And it was like right before he handed it over to the passport agent in a very not playful country or situation. And he was like, thank God I noticed it like right before. And was, you know, and his whole talk was this beautiful, you know, coming to the point of like, Mark looked at the world like it's his sandbox, and he is free to play in it and enjoy and delight. And so I came up with it based on this TED Talk snippet, came up with the whole module of the Life Feast, which is on play. Like, as adults, we're allowed to play. We're allowed to go put googly eyes on trees and, you know, power outlets and delight ourselves and others. Like, there's so many beautiful, positive benefits to being more playful.
And it's so much fun. Like, cause I don't like the bill paying and the tax paying and all the boring things.
Right. Like, we still get the stuff done. We still get it done.
We do. Yes.
We worry if we have too much fun, maybe we won't, but you're like, nope. I still like brush my teeth every day. And I still.
Well, the eye bombing was kind of cool though, because that was something like the photo walk. You can do it anywhere.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, like we would do it at restaurants. Like, I put them on like salt and pepper shakers and.
Right. So just silly. Who knew? You could try it on passport photos
too. Yes. Yes. That's hilarious. Okay. So what do you have, what's going on right now? You have like another project going on right now, or what's up in the near future for you?
So what's up in the near future is relaunching the Life Feast this summer for everyone who wants to take it further, to take the photo walk further with me, is to really, like I said, this is where we really learn all the, you know, photography concepts, composition, editing, like cool ways to improve your photography, iPhone photography. So it's always super accessible, although it can be applied towards bigger camera photography. And then in it, as I said, each module is based around awe, play, adventure, mindfulness, curiosity, flow state, everything that all these benefits of creativity, of what they bring into your life, and then how to integrate them. And I always joke that I think that iPhone photography is like the gateway drug to all the other creative things. That I have many people who say like, well, I'm not really interested in being a photographer. It's like, yeah, that's fine. That's not really what I'm teaching. I mean, this isn't so you could go start your wedding photography career or family portraits. It's about, really tapping into this part of you that has probably been dormant since, you know, for a lot of us, that's been dormant for a few decades, you know, whether we lost creativity after fifth grade, you know, like middle school things are getting more serious, or if we let it atrophy in adulthood, wherever it happens, it's a way to, so I've had people who after, you know, working with me, they're like, I signed up for, you know, guitar lessons. Now I'm oil painting. And I've had several who are like, I'm starting a podcast. I'm starting my online courses, which I think are all, you know, really creative endeavors. They just might be more business related.
Right.
So I think, you know, I would have students tell me like, no, I think I do need a big camera and I need like the big lens. And I was like, no, because then you'll make it this really precious thing. Like it's gonna, I gotta get out the camera. I gotta bring it around. You know, in photography, it's the best camera you have is the one you have with you. And the iPhone is with you. And you can, as I say, like, you can use it for good or evil. You can use it to just sit right. and scroll and read the news and drive yourself crazy. Or you can be like, I think I'm going to go, you know, look for some worm's eye point of view.
Or, yeah, I don't know. I think, I don't know if I tagged you or what, but I don't know if you saw like all the comments from my friends on those pictures.
Oh, I did on Facebook. I was like, your friends are so into this. I love it. Like,
yeah,
it was so, it was so delightful to see. And then I say too, like, you know, I feel like I think there's wonderful aspects to, you know, painting and pottery and all, you know, crocheting and all of those. However, if you're, you know, I joke that if you're driving and you see a beautiful sunset, you know, it's harder with the kids in tow to bust out the easel and the,
right,
and the
right.
paint box than, you know, to capture and savor that moment. And photography is this beautiful way to, as I said, you can do it in shorter increments. It's really accessible and have this creative practice. And I had one of my students in the Life Feast had said, it never occurred to me to take a photo of anything other than my children
right.
on my iPhone. And she was like, and now she did a series of like upwards of umbrellas, like patio wow. umbrellas. And they were, you know, they were so beautiful. And I was like, yeah, see?
Yeah. See, aren't like you blew the doors open on all, like yeah. there's just parts of the world that you don't just, they're right there. You just don't even realize. And yes. it's exciting and joyful. And
well, I love that you're just the perfect textbook example of like, once you start tapping into it, that the ideas just keep coming, mm-hmm. you know, that's the broaden and build effect. That's so
amazing.
I have
like creativity ADHD though, because, and then yeah. I get like, I start driving my friends and family crazy because I get like the gnomes. Okay. So like, then everyone got a gnome and they're like, well, you know, and my, and then like the eye bombing. So then I was eye bombing everything. And right. it's just like, I get on.
I love
these,
it, Cindy. You're all in.
I am. Amazing. And like, now it's the photo walk. Now it's ceiling. So now everywhere we go, we're taking pictures of the ceiling. And I just have so much fun with it. So I think what you're doing is
awesome. I think if you look at it as like, you know, it's like stretching before exercise, right? Like it's just all these playful ways to warm up. So if it's saying like, okay, ultimately you want to write a book or some like big kind of creative opus that you have in mind, then it's still good to go make the acorn gnomes and things that just allow you to just play and
yes.
like make mistakes and use your curiosity. And then also to say like, okay, but I do still want to get the, you know, ICOMs or your big, hairy, audacious goals.
Yes,
like your
yes.
big, hairy, audacious goals done.
It's the BHAG.
Yes, BHAG. Exactly.
Did you read
exactly,
that book?
The BHAG.
It's,
which book was it?
I can't think of the name of it, but it's by Adam Hamilton.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I love his BHAG. So
yes.
So if you have those, it's like, yeah, you still want to honor those, but that doesn't mean that you need to just throw away all the creative like warm-up exercises that are fun, that just get you in that broaden and build mindset that create the other ideas. Mm-hmm. So what's that BHAG of yours? I gotta ask.
My big, hairy, audacious, what's the last, what's the G?
Goal.
I seriously want to be doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like I want to be, like I write it down every day. Like I write down, cause I'm also very interested in the subconscious mind. So like I write down, like it's already been done, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So
your future self.
Yes,
love it.
Every day I write down that I generate money from my podcast, from my online courses, my e-courses, my Etsy shop. And, and then I just started, I don't know if you've heard of the, app Listenable.
No. Uh-uh.
Okay. Well, check it out. You can get it on the app store, but it's classes that you can listen to.
Oh, cool.
And they're like each lesson's like 10 minutes long,
uh-huh.
but,
like
so I, yeah. Like, so like on the fly, I was cause I get obsessive with things. So I like could listen to everything I could possibly listen to. And then I started looking at their website and they have a form you can fill out if you want to like teach
apply.
A class.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like literally like with no thought at all, I'm like, oh, I'm really into positivity. So let me just pitch them this idea. I'm like, they probably won't like it. They'll probably never get back to me. Got back to me right away. Like we love this idea. And I'm like, oh nice. Sweet. Cause I'm a podcast host. Like, I think I can do this.
Yeah.
You know? So,
Congratulations.
So, like, that's another thing. Like, they picked up my course, so I'm in the middle of that right now. And, but, like, in my journal every morning, I'm writing all of these things down. And it's, like, it's kind of where, like, where you are now. Like, I want to be, I need to be making money because my husband and I don't share money. So, like, in a sense, I'm still kind of like a single mom, but I need to be generating money for my family. But I want to pull it in ways like on my terms. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I still need to be teaching, and I love the fact that with teaching, I can still be creative. Mm-hmm. But I need more.
It's the bridge. It's the bridge to the next thing.
Yeah. So like when I say I have a goal, I can't say that I have a BHAG. I have BHAGs. Because, like, I have right. all these things. Like, my mind is constantly.
I am right there with you. I think the biggest thing that I had to do was put the horse blinders on as far as allowing myself to, because it's funny when you say, like, what's next? Well, you know, there's a million different ideas in my head. However, I made a promise to commit to running a certain amount of Life East cohorts before I'm moving on to the next BHAG, if you will.
Yes.
Just
yes.
Like knowing that giving some things continued focus for a while really exponentially increases the success for a bit. So honoring all those warm up and playful ideas, but also knowing, like, if I decide I'm going to write a book and launch a podcast and do the courses and do a YouTube channel and like, and all at the same time before I've made some traction in one area, then they all just get jumbled up. So
right. Well, I write all these ideas down. And so, like, right now my focus is my podcast, and my focus is Listenable because I have deadlines on both of those things.
Yeah.
So, like, and then yes.
Keeps you accountable.
Right. And then, like, then I'm reading a book for school. So like I'm getting all filled with these ideas for school that I want to do with my students, but it's like, okay, I got to focus on this first. And then I write down like all my ideas that I have for school so that when I'm done with this, I can then not forget all my other big dreams here.
So another challenge that I run. So I do the gratitude gravy in November. And then I also do one in January called the Right Brain Resolution Revolution. And it's basically to take those BHAGs and like put them into action. And one of my favorite things that I learned in my positive psychology certification was this idea of reverse accountability. it's a way to get you to stick with, like, if you're very deadline motivated, like I am as well. And I would find that, like, normal accountability or rewarding myself when I finish something wasn't working. And so I had to go with, like, the more of the strong-armed approach. And I had a coach who he had first challenged me to this. This is like 7 or 8 years ago. And I was writing, and I was trying to come up with a daily writing practice to write a book. And he had said, all right, if you don't send me 1,000 words a day or whatever the goal was, first it was, you have to buy me a 6-pack of beer. And I was like, all right, well, that's not hard. And then he goes, oh, okay. And that was when he realized it wasn't hard. He goes, then you have to buy me dinner. And he named this really fancy restaurant in town. And I was like, all right, I'd buy you dinner. And he goes, no, you have to buy me dinner, and you have to sit there and watch me eat, and you're not allowed to eat anything.
Oh, and I would totally, like, get it done.
I was like, oh my God, Todd, that is really harsh. And I don't think I ever missed a deadline after that. So I did it with a friend of mine who I had proposed that she do an art show in my studio, and she's this amazing artist, and she was just getting in her own way. And I said, we're setting a deadline, and we're coming up with a reverse accountability goal. And what we came up with was, if she didn't do the art show, if she didn't follow through with it, she was going to have to give $3,000 to a charity that she hated. And we'll just say it was like a political charity that she was very much against. And So I was like, we're going to do it. And we made her sign it and everything. And she had like 3 months to get the, we came up with a realistic time frame, but it was, I'm holding you accountable. If you don't do this, you have to donate the $3,000 to the, I was like, at that point you could just hang up one picture in my studio and invite two friends. And that counts as an art show. So you make it as small or as big as you want.
And did she do it?
So that's she did it. She did it. It was incredible. And she sold several pieces, and then a different gallery, one that's like much, mine's more like workshop based and fun, like a very serious gallery, picked her up. A year later, she had like a huge show with them. This printmaker woman represents her. So like it had a ripple effect of all kinds of positive things. But
that's awesome.
So sometimes we just need to force ourselves to pick the one BHAG and then do a playful little reverse accountability goal. And
I like that it's playful though, because I mean, that would make it helpful. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So I never had to go sit him and watch him eat dinner, but I was like, I don't think I would make it. I love
no. Oh, I love food. Like, that's another thing I want to do. Like in retirement, did you ever see My Best Friend's Wedding with Julia Roberts?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I want her job. You know how she goes to the fancy restaurants and she eats the food and everyone's scurrying around and they're nervous and she writes about it. That's what I want to do in retirement. Yeah. So that's a BHAG for later.
All of that.
Yeah.
I hear a blog coming.
Oh yes. Yes. We have to wrap this up. Unfortunately, I love talking to you. Like, I could probably talk to you all day long. But I'm so glad that we're Facebook friends so I can keep up with what you have going on. But before I go, though, I wanted you to, any information that you want to share about how to get in touch with you in case any of the listeners want to do a class or just see what you're up to. Because like I said, I've been talking about you all the time. So how do people find you?
So you can find me, my website is larockstarcreative.com, and on it, you can download the photo walk guide. It's a free guide and hear what Cindy's, giving me so many wonderful props about. And then when you're subscribed, you then get my follow-up emails on different tips. You get the gratitude gravy in November. You get the right brain resolution revolution.
I've got to sign up for this stuff.
You too can write. Yeah. You too can write haikus to your coffee maker or, or donate money to charities you don't believe in to meet your art goals. And then on there too, you find out when I'm launching the cohorts for the Life Feast. I'm also on Instagram at LaRockstar, and that's where you see my photo walks, like my weird little sidewalk cracks and fun photos. And those are the best spots to find me right now.
Okay, so I will put links to everything on in my show notes and on my blog so that people can find you and enjoy and be inspired as much as I have too. So it has been great talking to you, and I will let you know when this goes out and send you links. And this has just been so awesome. So thank you for being with me.
Thank you, Cindy. Please keep me posted on all your endeavors.
Oh, I will. You too.
I was immediately thinking again, this is after podcast, like this is my from my own marketing days of like, well, do you do things on Teachers Pay Teachers? Like, do you sell products on there?
That's on my list of things to do. Like, seriously, this summer I've been looking into that too. I just, there's so many things I want to do.
I was thinking, like, I always go with like, what's the low hanging fruit? Like, okay, so you are a teacher. So teaching other teachers about positivity or whatever, it seems like Teachers Pay Teachers is such a great like intro platform, to get started on selling the intro.
Yeah, course. It's there. It's on my list. Literally, like I my Pinterest board, like if you look at my Pinterest, like that's my latest pins. So because I'm intrigued,
Love it. So well, you're going to do all the things and I can't wait to follow you.
So. All right. Well, it's been nice talking to you, and don't become a stranger. I'm so glad. I'll see you on Facebook, and you enjoy the rest of your day. So there you go, my conversation with Lizzie LaRock. I hope Lizzie's energy had the same impact on you as it did on me. I learned so much from her from just this one conversation, but I know if we lived near each other, we could easily be the best of friends. Again, if you would like to find the photo walk and Lizzie, go to her website at www.larockstarcreative.com. And she's also on Instagram at larockstar, LaRockstar. And if you want to join me and some other awesome people in a negative free conversation, join my Facebook group at facebook.com/group/YDDOA. You can also find me on Instagram at Your DD of Awesome and on Twitter at Cindy Liming, which is spelled CYNDI and Liming is LIMING. And be sure to check out my website, yddoa.com, where you will find all the deals and episodes of Your Daily Dose of Awesome. And again, that's yddoa.com. Make it an awesome week and get out there and play.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.